confident.
Thank God it's
Friday. It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Here we go, getting the sports weekend started with the Sports Rush rainy Friday. But it is just cloudy right now. So all of our guys getting set out at Bishop Luers tonight as the Bishop Luers night. Welcome the Snyder Panthers, Jim, Shannon, and Duke, all ready to bring you the high school football tailgate pregame show presented by Parkview Sports Medicine, live at Bishop Luers. Check them out as you get to the stadium tonight. I'm sure there'll be a good crowd despite of the weather. You know, actually, the hour-by-hour doesn't look terrible. It's going to be wet. It's, a lot of humidity in the air. Might be a drip or two, but most of the significant rain is supposed to hold out until maybe the second half or even perhaps after the game ends. So hopefully the weather is not a big impact on tonight's football action. Got high school football all over the place in Northeast Indiana tonight. We'll be covering it all. Previews with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show. And then postgame, join us for the Indiana Physical Therapy post-game show live at the Southgate Pizza Hut. Caleb and I will be there giving you scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, so much more as we wrap up the final week of the regular season of high school football tonight. Start looking forward to next week's high school football sectional play for Class 1A through 4A and a couple of big ones on the slate next week, including Leo East Noble, the rematch up in Kendallville. That is where we will be with our coverage. And, of course, the coverage includes the entire gang on the road next week for Leo at East Noble, our high school football game of the week, Class 4A sectional play, right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. So I guess now we can actually talk about the Colts and who they're playing this weekend. The Colts, of course, taking on the Houston Texans. You knew that. But, of course, we didn't want to give anything away for all of our people that were texting, trying to win tickets to the game on Sunday. Did we get a winner of our tickets?
We did, and I apologize in advance if I'm mispronouncing this, but Jamon is our winner.
So, heading to the Colts game.
Maybe it's pronounced Jamon. I'm not sure, but that is our winner.
Heading to the game this Sunday, courtesy of 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. The Colts taking on the Texans, got the final practice report of the week and kind of giving an idea on who's going to be in, who's going to be out for this Sunday. Already five players ruled out for Sunday, including Rodrigo Blankenship. He is officially out. Did not practice this week. There's some inflammation in the hip, so he is out. Also out this week, Andrew Sandejo, Braden Smith, Kamoko Touré, dealing with the groin injury, and Jordan Wilkins. And I have tried and tried to figure out what this is, the non-football illness dealing that Jordan Wilkins is going through. Don't know what it is, but he didn't practice all week. He is out for the game on Sunday. Now, another Colt has been listed for questionable on Sunday. That is Xavier Rhodes, the corner where the Colts have really been hit with injury. Now, it does look at this point like Rocky Asin is on track to get out on the field Sunday. He was a full participant in practice today. Also full participant was Quiddy Pay. Maybe that will help the Colts pass rush somewhat. Other injuries for the Colts. You've got, we already told you who's out. None of them practiced today. Xavier Rhodes actually is questionable, but he was a full participant in practice today, so it's just going to be, I guess, a question of how he responds to having a full practice. He's dealing with a concussion, so I would think if they let him be a full participant in practice that he's being cleared and will be available to play on Sunday. Darius Leonard, he was able to practice fully today. Other Colts listed. Oh, Isaac Rochelle, due to illness, but he was able to practice and has practiced all week long, so he should be available for the Colts come Sunday. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I'll give you my pick on this game coming up a little bit later in this hour, But I do feel like the Colts are going to bounce back well from what happened in Baltimore. I mean, if you look at that game, and of course we are all blinded by what happened in the fourth quarter, and that's the time we want to really focus on because the Colts blew what should have been a win and turned it into a loss. But if you remember the first three and a half quarters, the Colts were the dominant football team. In fact, for three quarters of that football game, the Colts dominated the Baltimore Ravens. They moved the ball almost at will offensively. Defensively, they took away Baltimore's run completely. Remember, Baltimore had that streak, 43 straight games, 100 yards on the ground. That streak was broken in the game Monday night. The only problem is they didn't need to run the football because they were able to throw it so effectively because nobody put pressure on Lamar Jackson. But the Colts did the job for three quarters against Baltimore. They just didn't finish. So now they bring in a team that is almost to the point of tanking. They really have no stars. They've got a rookie at quarterback on the road where, of course, at Lucas Oil Stadium, it can be very tough even on experienced quarterbacks. I think the Colts are going to win this one, and I think it's going to be a little more comfortable than most people think. I'll just tell you that. But I've got my pick coming up a little bit later. You know, I don't know why this hit me, Kayla, but it just hit me right now because I'm thinking about the Colts schedule, and I know in 2 weeks they've got the Tennessee game at Lucas Oil Stadium, which will fall on Halloween, and it made me think Halloween candy. I don't know why, but I just got in the mood for some Halloween candy. That's the way my mind works, okay? It's like Colts playing at home, haven't been at home for a while, have a road game next week out at San Francisco, but then they'll be back home for Halloween. Oh, Halloween. Candy. Got to get me some candy.
Favorite Halloween candy. Now, it could be chocolate, and it could be, you know, candy, whereas I think of, you know, like sugar, but like not, you know, no chocolate involved.
Something that gets passed out on Halloween.
You can do one for each category.
Oh, well, let me just say this. You judge an adult, a parent, you judge by which snack they sneak in and steal from their kids' bags. Not that I would ever do such a thing. But my kids, for some reason, never got Kit Kats when they went out and got food. They'd get back at the house. They first thing we always tell them is they got to go to the bathroom. And while they're in the bathroom, I'm checking the bag. And, geez, it was funny. They never got Kit Kat bars. So I guess my favorite would be Kit Kats. Then Reese's. But I can't decide between the pieces or the actual cups. Because I really like both. And then third on my list, because you're saying chocolate is a category.
Yeah, chocolate's a category.
I don't know what's the sweet category.
The non-chocolate category.
Because the only thing I can think of are the little sweet tarts. That's about the only thing I can think of that would fall in a non-chocolate category.
I'm talking like your Mike and Ike's, your Dots, your Swedish Fish, your Sour Patch Kids, your, you know, sour
candy
straws.
Corn. Is candy corn even a food? I mean, I don't know what that
it's,
is.
It's barely something.
For one, it's has awful. No relation to corn whatsoever.
It's chicken feet. Fun fact. That's how it started. And
Wait. You're saying that with a straight face.
Yeah. It candy corn originated as
the
chicken
candy?
Feed. Yes. It was created as a chicken feed.
And some human decided to eat the chicken feed and said, hey, this is pretty good. We should pass this out for Halloween.
That was the original name of candy corn. It was chicken feed. That's what it was called.
Wow.
In the 1880s.
Well, I know I've always had a little bit of a apprehension about eating candy corn because number one, it is addictive. Once you eat it, it's like you got to just grab another handful and just keep eating it. I think that's the sugar in it, but you're serious.
That's the original name. I'm serious. Yes.
Oh, wow.
That was the original name.
Okay. So it's not on my list, obviously. I'm such a chocolate candy guy that I guess I really don't have much on the other side. Do you have a favorite from the non-chocolate list?
Oh, yeah. Swedish Fish. That's my favorite.
I don't even know what that is. You mentioned that, and I'm like, I have no idea what a Swedish fish is. What is Swedish fish?
It's like a red colored, shaped like a fish candy.
I don't know that I've ever had. Yeah. Is this something new?
No. It's been around a while.
Wow.
It's the same company that makes Sour Patch Kids.
Well, now that I know.
So same company. I prefer Swedish fish though over Sour Patch Kids.
The because I'm you know, I guess you kind of get on candy probably when you're a kid, and for me it was Sweethearts, Three Musketeers bars, Snickers. I don't even sure if we had Kit Kats when I was a kid. But my favorite, Kit Kat number one, Reese's, either the pieces or the cups, kind of they split my 2A and 2B. And then M&M, peanut M&Ms would be number three for me.
Ooh, yeah. So mine are going to make a lot of people mad. Obviously,
your chocolate side?
On the non-chocolate side, it's obviously Swedish fish. That is hands down. I don't even need to rank anything else. Now, on the chocolate variety side, I love Mounds and Almond Joy. I know it's controversial, but I love Mounds and Almond Joy. Reese's, as far as the cups, I do like Reese's Pieces, but I think I like the cups better. And then I think third, I would put, you know what? Name just escaped me. I had it in my
candy butter.
No, peanut M&Ms. That'd probably be my third.
Okay. So we're not that far off as far as what we like. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. Looking at tonight's high school football schedule, you've got Bishop Dwenger at Northrop. That game will be played tonight, and of course Northrop with the artificial surface. You've got Southside at Homestead, Wayne at Carroll. The only game in the SAC that will be contested on natural grass surface is the one we'll be at with the Snyder Panthers and the Bishop Lures Knights. Don't forget, our coverage starts with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show starting at 6 o'clock. Around the NE8, Belmont is up at East Noble, Huntington North at New Haven, Leo is at DeKalb, and Norwell visits Columbia City. Only one game in the NE8 that will be on grass. That is up at DeKalb. Then on to the ACAC, where Bluffton's at Lakeland in a non-conference game. But you've got Heritage at Jay County, Southern Wells at South Adams, Woodland at Adams Central, all on grass. And then in the NECC, Angola will be at Eastside. The grass was long last week. I can't imagine if they didn't get out to cut it this week. They had to cut that grass at some point. Also Cherubusco, Fairfield, Garrett, Central Noble, those games all taking place tonight. And of course we'll have scores of all of the action tonight on the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show that will come to you live from the Southgate Pizza Hut after the Bishop Lures Snyder game. Caleb, I know I've made a pick on tonight's game, and I made my pick, I have to admit, before knowing what the weather is. And I do think that this weather is an advantage to Snyder, but I'll stick with my pick. I took Lures to win it 33-27. Do you have?
I do. I like Snyder in the upset special. If I can steal that.
Upset special of the week, Rumpy.
I like the Snyder Panthers to win tonight on the road 24-21.
Wow. Okay, so Caleb's in the books with Snyder. I'm in the books with Lures. We'll see. If you've got a take on the game tonight, let us know what it is. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Welcome back to the Sports Rush. Coming up at the top of the hour, we've got your high school football pregame show live from Lures as Jim, Shannon, and Dute are getting all set for the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show. Big one tonight at Lures Field. The Snyder Panthers and the Bishop Lures Knights, two teams with a combined 15-1 record. Well, I guess it's actually 14-1 because we're ignoring that Southside game that Snyder ended up not playing. But still, only one loss between these two teams, a chance to have tri-championships or even Snyder claim a championship, depending on the Carroll result tonight. Should be a lot of fun. Make sure you've got it locked in. We've got your coverage exclusively here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We want to talk a little bit of Indiana football this weekend. The Hoosiers, a tough test against a top 10 ranked Michigan State Spartans team down in Bloomington. And the Hoosiers coming off the bye week. Michigan State, nothing but impressive. A perfect record so far for the Spartans. And to talk about it, we're joined from the Bloomington Herald Times, also the Indy Star, Dustin Dopierak. And Dustin, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for the Indiana Hoosiers, starting with a quarterback decision, as they are going to have Jack Tuttle. Now, I don't know, is Michael Penix going to be available? Is this a decision based on merit? Is this because of an injury? What exactly is the status for Indiana quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the injury is what's driving it. He suffered an AC separation, separation in his AC joint in his left shoulder, his throwing shoulder, against Penn State on October 2nd. So, obviously prior to the bye week. And so that it doesn't require surgery. And this is obviously something we found out the day after, or I think 2 days after it was, but it is going to be a week-to-week situation. He is going to be rehabbing it, and he's going to be trying to get back on the field. But Tom Allen has basically said that he's not going to tell us you're not going to find out until game time, basically, if he's available. Really, you're going to find out about an hour or so before game time, because that's usually when they take warm-ups, and you know who's out there and who's not by that point. But bottom line, he is speaking about it as if it's going to be a constantly game-day decision. Now, the issue is, I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure he's going to have a better sense before as to whether he's playing as whether he's not. But the point is, he's not going to talk about it, is basically what he's saying. So that's kind of where they're at going forward. I mean, I would be really surprised if Penix is available 2 weeks after a shoulder separation. That seems like a bit much. Even if it's not a serious one that requires surgery, you would have to think it requires more healing than 2 weeks for him to be available. So that's kind of what's driving the likelihood of Tuttle being the starter. As you would obviously note, Penix hasn't played particularly well, which is another reason, gives you another strong reason to not force him back there in case of an injury. It's not like a guy that has just been on fire and you're just begging to get him back. It's probably best for them, even if he's close to healthy, to have Tuttle in there, give him an opportunity to kind of take the reins and see what happens. Basically, obviously, Penix has not played particularly well, didn't play good against Penn State, was bad against Cincinnati, was bad against Iowa, throwing, I think, what, 7 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken, this season. And not a good ratio. I think it's maybe 4 touchdowns. Had the really good game against Western Kentucky, the bounce back game, but didn't look very good against Penn State at all. Really had a couple nice throws, but not very much. And obviously, the entire offense wasn't able to score any points whatsoever. All of that suggests very strongly that Tuttle is going to be the guy on Saturday.
I don't get to see practice, but I know the old saying, as it goes with coaches, is that a lot of quarterbacks, you don't lose your starting job due to injury. But when you look at Michael Penix Jr., it's been a history of injury issues. But the other thing is, he hasn't been very accurate. As you pointed out, the interceptions, the lack of touchdown passes, he has not been accurate. And I mentioned this on Twitter. The one thing you get from Michael Penix is a chance maybe to stretch plays, make plays with his legs. He did it last year, but it seems like those days are behind him. Perhaps because of the injuries, he's been more of a, quote, pocket passer. That's not the advantage you get with Michael Penix, especially from a quarterback that hasn't been all that accurate. I mean, in some ways, and I don't want to say an injury is a help to the Hoosiers, but in some way, hasn't Jack Tuttle, because I feel like we're taking something away from Jack Tuttle, almost feel like he deserves this opportunity regardless of the injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a tough situation to figure out what to do when you've got a guy like Penix. I mean, he's actually not the best runner in the world, but his arm is live. And he has been accurate in the past. I mean, he's had seasons when he's been right around 70% completion rate. He has generally been a pretty risk-averse quarterback. If you look at his career up until this point, he doesn't throw a lot of picks usually. This year he does. I mean, this year he's just not the same guy, to your point. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to run 500 yards a year for you. That's not, he can extend plays, but he's not, there are better raw athletes. But, what Penix gives you that Tuttle doesn't, is the home run ball. Generally, in his career, he's been able to complete those. Hasn't done that a lot this year. Hasn't done that very much this year at all. That's really the bigger thing. It's just his ability to just drive the ball down the field, where, you know, Tuttle does not quite have just the pure long ball, just put it up in the air for 40, 50 yards. Penick's got a better chance of doing that for you than Tuttle does. But no, I mean, Tuttle deserves a shot in terms of he's earned it. The thing with Penick is, again, you're talking about a guy who's had three season-ending injuries. That means he's had three rehabs. He has a lot of the trust, of his teammates. I mean, he's before this year, he's won a lot. He's won a lot of football games. So ultimately, I mean, he's a guy that a lot of the guys respect. And again, that has a lot of juice when he's capable. He just hasn't been all the way there. Tuttle is a guy that they have a lot of respect for, that they're happy with. Basically, he's got a really good pedigree himself. Was a four-star recruit, was an elite 11 quarterback. Coming out of high school in California, went to Utah first. So basically is a guy that has always looked really good on paper. And he's been solid. Penix, I think in camp and everything, definitely seemed like the better guy. And it's tough to move away from a guy who started parts of 3 years for you and come back from three season ending injuries, just putting himself through that. But Tuttle has been impressive enough. He deserves a shot, and I'd be really surprised if he doesn't get a whole game this Saturday.
Looking at the game plan of what the Hoosiers need to do against the Michigan State Spartans, so far the Spartans have been a big surprise to me, at least, and part of that is because they've got a transfer that has been tearing it up on the ground. Kenneth Walker III, so far averaging over 7 yards a carry. It's somewhat typical Michigan State, maybe not so typical Michigan State. We used to always know that Michigan State had that running attack, and they've got it back with this guy. Is he kind of the key to this game?
Sure. I mean, he's a big one. I think he's the guy that makes everything else go. I mean, he's leading the country in rushing right now. Has made himself a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender. So, I mean, but that's not all they have. They have a couple of really good wide receivers. I think it's Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor, if I'm not mistaken. I think those are the two names. And Peyton Thorne, the quarterback's got 14 touchdowns against 2 interceptions. So it's having Walker as that kind of threat has helped that, obviously, but it's made for a really efficient passing game. So they're scoring a lot of points in there. They've got a pretty balanced attack, but it really does start with having a tailback of that caliber to get things started. So basically, you've got to be able to deal with both of them. If you're going to key up on Walker, you've got to know that they're probably going to try to take advantage of you through the air. You have to have your keys read and make sure you've still got your cornerbacks on top of those receivers. And Indiana's a little bit not so healthy when it comes to to their cornerbacks. They're not sure whether Reese Taylor or Tywan Mullen are going to be available on Saturday. It's kind of a game-time decision after they suffered some relatively minor injuries, but still stuff that could keep them out this week. Walker is a big key, but he's not the only key.
Indiana, if they want to be a bowl-eligible team, I'm looking at the schedule, and I think this is one of those games that they almost have to go out and snag some way, somehow.
Yeah, no, it all of a sudden the math got really tough for them. You looked at this game basically at the beginning of the season and said, okay, that's probably, you wouldn't go so far as to say gimme, but, basically it's one of those ones they had to project they were going to get. I mean, they shut Michigan State out last year 24-0. I think held them, 60 yards rushing or something like that, which is, traditionally pretty wild. So Indiana definitely seemed to be the program that was way ahead going into the season, but obviously Michigan State hit the transfer portal hard and it worked out for them really well. It becomes a much more difficult game on the schedule, but you're right. They're sort of running out of opportunities. You come out of two or three, you've got to find four wins from the seven that are left, which includes Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Michigan obviously also looks like a much tougher game than it did last year or when the season started. That's also a top 10 team after those guys really fell on hard times last year, and Indiana was able to handle that pretty easily. So all those games are tough, and you still have, Maryland's no joke. Rutgers gave Michigan some problems. Minnesota isn't terrible. They're not who they were with Muhammad Ibrahim, but still, that's a team that can get you. And Purdue at the end of the year isn't terrible either. I mean, there's not really a sure thing win left on the board. So they've got to get everyone they can get, and this one would make a huge difference if this could get them started for what's, it's not quite the second half of the season, but it's getting there.
Dustin Dupirak joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. I'm going to try to simplify this and put it into one sentence. Indiana wins this football game if?
If they get their offense right. If they play offense in a way that they have not played all year. they have a chance to win this game. I think they can defend pretty well. I think they can hold Michigan State under. It's possible they can step up and help hold them under 28. I'm going to say if they win if they score over 28 points.
Perfect. Dustin, always appreciate you jumping on with us. We'll look forward to your coverage of the game. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That is Dustin Dopierak joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. He will have coverage for both Bloomington and the Indy Star. And one thing about Dustin is he's able to work with both papers and submit stories that are published in both papers because they are owned by the same company. And so he provides kind of double coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers along with Zach Osterman, who we also have regularly on the program. Always good to talk to Dustin Dopierak. Of course, the Hoosiers, right now, the line is somewhere around 3.5, 4, 4.5 points. I'm sitting here looking at this thinking, how do you not pull the trigger on IU? They're playing at home. I think it's a Michigan State team that might be slightly overrated. I don't know. Tough call. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line 46862. We're coming back. Once again, we've got the guy standing by out of Bishop Lewis. So at the top of the hour, we'll send it out to the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show. We'll get you previews of Week 9, the final night of the regular season around the Summit Athletic Conference and around high school football. Of course, it means more in the SAC, perhaps because we've got a championship on the line as Snyder calls on Lewis tonight. Shannon and Griffith and I have all the call and all the action from Lewis Field starting at 7 o'clock after the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show. Then after the game, Southgate Pizza Hut, that's where we will be with our Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show up until 11 o'clock. You can tune in. You can stop by. Make sure after the game you make Pizza Hut your post-game destination, whether it's to dine in, carry out, or for delivery. Pizza Hut, the perfect capper to a Friday night of high school football. We're going to take a timeout. We're coming back plenty ahead, including a replay of our high school football picks of the week. That comes up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, and just minutes away from the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show. Looking at some of the best bets coming up this weekend, got to find my action. And I'm kind of sitting here scrolling through my FanDuel Sportsbook app. Of course, tonight we've got NCAA football with the Clemson Tigers at Syracuse. You know, Syracuse has been really bad, and Clemson has been really good. But this year, Syracuse is better, and Clemson has not been what they've been in the past. And this may be a bargain, but the problem is it keeps floating at 14 to 13.5. I don't like 13.5 all that well, but I do like 14. I kind of feel like with the hook, you're getting a coverage. So I think my money is going Syracuse tonight. I just don't know if Clemson could score enough points to be able to put this put distance between them and the Syracuse Orange. So I kind of like Clemson tonight. Now, looking at some of the other games that are coming up this weekend, tonight, late night, you've got Cal, Oregon. Not really sure on that one. Oregon right now at 13.5, which would be the way I would lean. Auburn, Arkansas, Razorbacks, 4.5-point favorites over Auburn. I think Auburn keeps it close, so I would go Auburn Tigers and take the 4.5 points. Indiana, 4.5. I like Indiana with 4.5 points. I mean, I don't think the Hoosiers get blown out at home. I think defensively they'll be able to keep the Spartans under control. So I like the Hoosiers 4.5 points. Other games coming up tomorrow, you've got Central Florida, Cincinnati, where the Bearcats are 21.5-point favorites over Central Florida. Texas A&M, a 10.5-point favorite at Missouri. Florida LSU, Gators, 12.5-point favorites at LSU. Wow. You know, I know LSU's been kind of a dumpster fire this year, and I know that Ed Orgeron's probably on his way out as LSU's coach. 12.5 for the Tigers at home for a desperate football team in a rivalry type game. Oklahoma State, Texas, Longhorns, 3.5-point favorites. Georgia, 21.5 point favorites over Kentucky. Man, welcome to the top 10, Kentucky. Your reward is you play number one Georgia. And oh, by the way, the Bulldogs are 21.5 point favorites in Athens. Wow. Iowa right now sitting at 11.5 Purdue. What do you like there? Iowa, 11.5 point favorite over the Boilermakers. That's an Iowa team that kind of scares me because of the way they can play defense. It's just a matter of whether Purdue can stop them and stop the Iowa offense. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. By the way, Alabama also 17.5 point favorite over Mississippi State. Just some of the games that we've got coming up this weekend. Of course, tonight it's all about high school football. Tomorrow, college football. Sunday, Colts taking on the Houston Texans. I think Colts win this one easy. I think it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 30-13. Maybe a 30-16. I think the Colts defense was embarrassed by that fourth quarter. I think maybe being called out for their lack of effort. And let's admit it, they quit. They did not try to go get Lamar Jackson. They just tried to contain him because they didn't want to get caught chasing him. And so it was just a poor effort by the Colts in that fourth quarter against Baltimore. And so I think the defense, if they got any pride at all, is going to play really well against a rookie quarterback in a hostile setting. I like the Colts. 30. Houston, 13. There's my pick for the Colts coming up this Sunday. Hey, don't forget, high school football tonight, Parkview Sports Medicine, high school football tailgate pregame show. It's on in just minutes, but it's also time for us to give you a replay of who I'm picking this week in high school football. It's our high school football picks of the week. We give you a replay every Friday, and here it comes, hitting your airwaves in 3, 2, 1.
Now, the high school football picks of the week, presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
And here we go. It is so hard to believe we finally made it to week number 9. It is the final week of the regular season for high school football. Away we go. We'll start in the SAC, where the Bishop Wenger Saints will go to Spuler Stadium to take on the Northrop Bruins. The Saints have taken care of business when they played teams in the bottom part of the standings in the SAC, and I think they'll take care of business against the Northrop Bruins. Bodie Dickerson has become a weapon, and Bishop Wenger, I think, has found something offensively when they spread the field and find their outstanding wide receivers. Oh, they'll still be able to run the football, but now they've got more balance in the passing attack. I think that makes the difference as Bishop Wenger wins it 37-14.
You are one pathetic loser.
The Southside Archers go to Homestead to take on the Spartans. Not much to play for either one of these teams except momentum to head into the IHSAA State Tournament playoffs. Homestead's got a grind of a sectional, having both Carroll and Warsaw, two one-loss teams, in their Class 6A sectional. Homestead is too balanced, and the passing attack will produce results. I've got the Spartans winning it big at home over the Southside Archers, 48-13.
I'm going to recommend you to everybody.
The Carroll Chargers are at home against the Wayne Generals. This is a Wayne team that I think can really make some noise once you get to next week's state tournament, but I don't think they'll make enough noise with that ground game against the Carroll Chargers, who've had the best defense in the Summit Athletic Conference. We know Carroll can score, but they can also defend, and the Chargers roll 48-14.
I thought I told you to get lost.
Now the 1380 The Fan, 100.9 FM game of the week. It's going to decide who takes home the victory bell. For the Bishop Lewers Knights hosting the Snyder Panthers, they hope that they get to keep it all to themselves. The Snyder Panthers hope to get a win over the Knights and get some help from the Wayne Generals so that Snyder can paint the bell black and yellow. Look, the challenge for Bishop Lewers is going to be at the line of scrimmage. They got to be able to match up with a bigger, more physical team in the Snyder Panthers at the line of scrimmage. They have to take away the Panthers' running game with Tyrese Brown. Otherwise, Snyder can control time of possession. They can wear down Bishop Lewers' offensive weapons by forcing so many of them to play defense. But in the end, too many weapons for Bishop Lewers. I think this one stays close, but I think the Knights will finish off an undefeated regular season 9-0 in the SAC with a 33-27 win.
Is he all there?
like mentally?
The Belmont Braves got their win and ended the 26-game losing streak last week. Now they go up to Kendallville to take on the East Noble Knights, who after a bit of a lull during the regular season seem to be back on track. No looking ahead for East Noble. They've got Leo coming into Kendallville next week to start the Class 4A playoffs. But I've got East Noble winning this one 42-20.
Talk about lame.
Totally.
The New Haven Bulldogs might be one of the hardest teams to figure out. They'll welcome Huntington North into New Haven for an NE8 battle Friday night, and I think New Haven wins this one close, 32-28.
You are literally too stupid to insult.
The Leo Lions are 8-0, undefeated, and the only thing ahead of them is East Noble next week. Boy, what a game it was when those two teams met the first go-round. Leo can't get caught looking ahead. They go to DeKalb to finish off the regular season, but the Barons just don't have the horses to compete with this tough-running attack of the Leo Lions. It's all Lions up in DeKalb, 55-6.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid? Why?
The Norwell Knights have really been impressive this year. I don't know if anyone expected them to have the kind of season they have had with only a loss to Leo on their slate. They'll be tested as they go into Columbia City to take on the Eagles, but I think Norwell prevails 27-13.
Why don't you stop talking for a while? Maybe sit the next couple plays out.
It's out of conference play for the Bluffton Tigers as they head up to Lakeland to take on NECC opponent, the Lakeland Lakers. Lakeland can defend, and that's going to be important in this one, because I think Lakeland can limit Bluffton offensively just enough to eke out a 26-19 win.
You don't know squat, you stupid idiot!
The Heritage Patriots had a tough start to the season. A lot of that is because of the way the schedule was balanced. Now they've got a chance to get another victory at Jay County, and I think the Patriots prevail, the Heritage Patriots, 33-19.
Don't you ever get tired of being wrong?
Southern Wells visiting South Adams. Tough year for the Raiders. It's just a matter of numbers. A school system with not many kids trying to field a football team and stay competitive against teams like South Adams that are just so strong. This one won't be close from the start. The Starfires roll over Southern Wells 61-0.
Do you know how crazy that sounds?
Another team in Northeast Indiana that's trying to finish off a tremendous regular season and go 8-1 with momentum heading into next week's showdown against Cherubusco. The Adams Central Flying Jets will host the Woodland Warriors. Again, one of the keys for this is that Adams Central doesn't get caught peeking ahead to that big meeting with the Eagles next week. I don't think they will. I think the talent disparity between Adams Central, a team that is dominated by really good senior players with 3 years of experience, they're going to be ready for Woodland and they'll win it. Adams Central 41, Woodland 7.
Oh no, I pressed the wrong button again.
Eastside rolled last week in a battle against Central Noble, and I think the Blazers just continue to roll. They'll beat Angola 42-12.
Just when I think you've said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
Fairfield was an unbeaten regular season champion in the NECC large school division a year ago. They seem to be playing better football of late. They'll welcome a Cherubusco team that has that big one with Adams Central next week. Does that get Cherubusco looking ahead? I don't think so. I think the Eagles win this one in a war at Fairfield 27-20.
You're pretty good.
Another close win in the NECC has the Garrett Railroaders visiting Albion to take on the Central Noble Cougars. Central Noble will want to pound it on the ground against that Railroaders defense. I just don't know that it's going to be enough to win the football game. I think Garrett gets a big play or two from their quarterback and wins it 26-20 over Central Noble.
You know, I didn't think this could get any worse, but haha, it has.
And those are your high school football picks of the week. Presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic on Fort Wayne Sports Station, 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
And welcome back to the Sports Rush. Caleb Hatch with you here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Brett already making his way on the arduous journey from the FedMed Studios on the south side of town up to Lures Field and Bishop Lures High School tonight for Lures as they host Snyder, the SAC title on the line tonight. Final week of the high school football regular season across Indiana and Northeast Indiana. We'll have plenty of coverage coming up for you. Again, coming up tonight, starting at 6, so just minutes away, it's the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football pregame tailgate show on location at Lures Field. Shannon, Dute, and Jim Shovlin will have the pregame show for you, covering everything across high school football in Northeast Indiana, get you ready for tonight's action. Then Brett and Shannon will have the call with the game at 7 between Snyder and Lures. Then after the game, don't forget, it is the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show live tonight from the Southgate Pizza Hut. I will be there with the scores. Brett will join me as well. We'll have scores, we'll talk to coaches, and we'll get you ready for sectional play, because sectional play, with the exception of Class 6A, is really just a week away. So we're right on the cusp of the postseason in high school football. What an exciting time here, not just in Northeast Indiana, but the entire state. High school football postseason play coming up, and gloomy weather. It almost seems like this has worked out perfectly with all the gloomy weather today. Seems more like football weather, especially as you get closer to the postseason. Thanks to the guests who joined us on the show. Shane Alberani, the voice of the Fort Wayne Comets. Exhibition games canceled this weekend, but they're getting set to take on Wheeling in a couple of weeks to open the regular season. And also Dustin Apirak of the Bloomington Herald Times and the Indianapolis Star with a preview of IU and Michigan State. Thanks for joining us here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and
podcasts by Federated Media.